I call the House Hess Education and Social Services meeting together. It is 4 minutes after 3, and it is, today is February 22nd, and members present are Representative Sisna, Representative Newman, Representative Gardner, Representative Seaton, Representative Roses, and myself, Wilson. And we have a very short agenda today because we have members that for various reasons will not be able to attend past 3:30. So we're going to try to get right into it and get as much done as we can. So the first bill that we're going to hear, we were going to hear House Bill 100, Nonprofit Medical Services, and that's been postponed. And if there's anyone online that was going to be here to testify for it, if you can wait and testify the next time, that would be great. If you can't, can we do it, Becky?
She said it's kind of an ethics thing.
Okay.
She can't tell us what to do.
Okay.
But you can preface it.
Okay. As long as you are online, and if it's impossible for you to come back the next time so that we can do this, I would appreciate it if you could just wait till next time. We do have a gentleman that flew all the way from Fairbanks, and we are going to hear his testimony. I've decided as the chair that we're just going to do it. So, yeah, was it Mark? Paul Harris, are you online, Paul? Paul? Are you on mute, perhaps? He's not muted. Well,
Madam Chair?
I'm not on mute.
Oh. Fine on 100, or is it?
Okay. Mr. Harris, will you be able to come back and testify at a different time for on a different day for this bill?
Yes, I can.
Oh, thank you so much. And give us your telephone number, and we'll just make sure that you're aware of when we have it the next time.
Okay. It's 457.
457.
1711.
Okay. And it's going to be March 1st.
Okay.
March 1st. And so if you can do that, that's wonderful. What was the first three numbers?
457.
457. Okay. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay. We have a Senate joint resolution. Well, it's not a joint resolution.
Concurrent
resolution. Brain Injury Awareness Month, March 27th, and it's Senator Liesl McGuire. And we'll just you don't look like Liesl, but
no, not Liesl. Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Marit Carlson Van Dort. I'm staff to Senator Liesl McGuire, and I'm here this afternoon to briefly talk about Senate Concurrent Resolution 2, which is Brain Injury Awareness Month, of March 2007. This is a familiar resolution. It comes back often, and this resolution is to draw awareness to brain injuries, in particular traumatic brain injuries, and to support those who have suffered a traumatic brain injury, their families, and their care providers. Traumatic brain injuries are one of the leading causes of death in young people in Alaska, and Alaska has the unfortunate title of being the highest number of traumatic brain injuries per capita. It's an estimated 12,000 Alaskans that live with a brain injury currently. Traumatic brain injury consists of damage to the brain that results when the head is hit, strikes a stationary object, or is shaken violently. Many of the victims often live with permanent disabilities, and the tragedy of traumatic brain injury is exacerbated by the fact that it's preventable. These injuries, like I said, are often life-altering and consequently can place a tremendous strain on victims and their families. And March of each year is recognized by the Brain Injury Awareness Association of America, and so this resolution would comport with that by recognizing March 2007 as Brain Awareness Month in Alaska. So that's my speech, and I certainly appreciate your consideration, and I respectfully ask for your support.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just wondering, is March recognized as any other awareness month for anything?
Boy, good question, and I couldn't answer that with any certainty.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
That's February.
I'm trying to think.
Any other questions? What are the wishes of the committee? Representative Seaton?
Madam Chair, I'd move we SCR 2 with attached fiscal note and individual recommendation from the committee.
Hearing no objection, so moved. That was quick. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, now what I'm going to do is, Mr. Warblow, would you come forward and state your name and your affiliation for the record? And what we're doing here is that we're not going to discuss the bill today. But if you want to ask Mr. Warblow questions, that's perfectly all right. And Mr. Warblow will go ahead and give us your testimony. And we will be hearing the actual bill on March 1st. And we're doing this simply because Mr. Warblow came all the way from Fairbanks for this meeting and didn't realize that this bill got canceled. Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate the accommodation here. It seems a basic courtesy that is absolutely appropriate. But I have to ask, what bill is he here for?
Okay, House Bill 100, and it's the nonprofit medical services.
Okay.
And I guess basically,
thank you.
Basically, it's it allows the nonprofit medical services, and these are mostly when someone's medevaced out.
Air ambulance.
Yeah, that's when they're medevaced out. That these carriers, if they want to, that one has, and I don't know if more than one has or not, but it was my question. I started working on this over a year ago because I had a question. Someone asked me, "Is this insurance?" So I went to the Commissioner of Insurance to try to figure out what was going on, and from that developed. I didn't realize that Representative Coghill was working on the same bill. Or the same situation, and so that kind of gives you just a little bit of a rundown and real quick of what's going on, and you'll be able to hear more about this bill next time, but I want to make sure that Mr. Warblow has a chance to give his testimony, so we'll let you go ahead and proceed.
Thank you. appreciate the opportunity to do it. My name is Art Warblow. I'm president of Warblow's Air Ventures. We're a commuter airline in Fairbanks. We're also a critical care air ambulance provider. We are the oldest certified air ambulance provider in Interior Alaska. We're the first one in Interior Alaska. We're also the contractor for Tanana Chiefs Conference, and we provide air ambulance service to all of the Tanana Chiefs villages out of Fairbanks. We are opposed to House Bill 100. For the following reasons. We believe that these membership programs make air ambulance less efficient in total. If this bill passes, it will force each and every air ambulance provider in Alaska that wishes to be competitive to field a sales force to sell these memberships. And that's something that's not being done currently, and it's resources that otherwise goes to providing aircraft and medical equipment and training and services to support our core product. If we don't do that and our competitors do go sell memberships, then they essentially preempt the market at the point then where you have a need, you're going to fly with the carrier who you have the membership with, and we lose the business. And because air ambulance is a high fixed cost business, our costs don't vary much whether we fly or not, because we have to have the planes and the pilots and the medical people and the equipment and the malpractice insurance and so on, regardless of whether we fly. And the incremental costs are relatively low, but the fixed costs are very high. So it's critical that you keep your volume up. These programs limit choice by the consumer, because at the point where you need the service, if you've already bought a membership, you're then somewhat locked into that particular provider. And if that provider happens to already be on a flight and doesn't have adequate backup, no matter how much backup you have in your ambulance, you always have the situations where there's more flights than you have equipment for. And if you have bought a membership with a particular company, then you end up waiting for that company to come. Or if that company is located, has their base located in a location different from where you're injured or become sick, there might be a local provider there that could handle you immediately, but you end up waiting for your membership carrier to come to where you're at. So they generally limit choice and increase the length of time that patients wait for the air ambulance provider to get there. This is an insurance product. It would, we believe, comes under the insurance laws that are currently on the books, and those laws require the sellers of insurance products to prove some financial capability. And the way this law is written, you wouldn't have to have any financial capability. One of the operators who's currently selling this product in Alaska is selling a lifetime membership. So the proposal on the table is that we could go out, or they could go out and sell insurance for air ambulance support for your lifetime. And the question is whether they will be here in 5 or 10 or 20 years. Now, I've been in this business for 37 years, and I don't think there's a single carrier that I can remember in Fairbanks that's still in existence today. Aviation is a great recycler. The planes and the people keep moving around, but the companies change. So to sell a lifetime membership without it proving any fiscal responsibility, I think, puts the consumers at risk. This is sold sometimes with the belief that it will protect you against having to pay deductibles and co-pays. The problem is that while you may have substantial deductibles and co-pays, say on a $10,000 or $20,000 air ambulance flight, you may have a deductible and copay that amounts to thousands of dollars that this would protect you from. However, you're probably being medevaced to a hospital where you're going to have a $10,000 or $100,000 hospital bill, and you're going to have to pay the deductibles and copays there anyway. So it really doesn't protect you against those deductibles and copays. If you do want to be protected against those, there's lots of legitimate insurance products that are sold, gap coverage insurance, that you can buy that will protect you not only against air ambulance deductible and copay, but any deductibles and copays that you have. And those are readily available from legitimate insurance companies that have proven their fiscal responsibility to the state. Air ambulance service is available to everybody in the state of Alaska, regardless of whether they have insurance or not. The certificated air ambulance providers, by regulation, cannot ask whether you have insurance before they fly or not. So when we get a request to move somebody, we cannot legally ask and do not ask whether they have any ability to pay. The facts of the matter are that we write off probably about 25% of our air ambulance charges because the people that we transported don't have insurance and don't have any way to pay. So this is not a case of there's some people that are going to be denied service if this bill doesn't pass. The frustrating thing to us is that this product has been sold by one carrier in Alaska for a number of years. And when they first started selling it, I believe it was about 6 years ago now, we approached the Division of Insurance and asked them whether it was legal to sell or not. And what we asked them, we said, if it's legal to sell, we don't have a problem with that. We want a letter saying it's legal to sell, and then we will sell memberships as well. If it's not legal to sell, then we'd like you to stop it from being sold. We were told that it was not legal to sell and that they were investigating. So we've never sold it. As far as we know today, this product is illegal to sell, and I think the fact that there's a bill going through the legislature is prima facie evidence that it's illegal to sell. And yet, at least one provider of air ambulance service has been selling it for a number of years. If this bill were to pass, it would put all the rest of us at a huge competitive disadvantage because that carrier has built up a base of membership. So I'd ask you, if you do decide to pass this bill, even though it would limit choice and increase costs in the industry, I would ask that there be a provision that anyone who has sold this product in violation of the laws be required to cancel all those memberships and refund the money and stand down for a period of time, I would suggest 1 year, so that the other air ambulance providers would have a level playing field to start off from and could sell this product and build some brand awareness in the market. Otherwise, we're left at a permanent disadvantage, and it seems inappropriate to reward the carrier or carriers who have flouted the regulations and statutes that are on the books now and penalize those of us who have complied.
Representative Sisna?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would really appreciate, sir, if you would explain what kind of your service is a standard medevac service, correct?
Right.
And can you kind of describe what that service entails and the price, maybe an average price for that service? Is that a possibility?
Sure. Our service, we use a Piper Cheyenne 2XL, which is a twin turboprop pressurized aircraft. It's a dedicated aircraft that does nothing but air ambulance. It's equipped with a medical unit in the cabin with oxygen and suction and electricity and so on. We carry either two paramedics or a paramedic and a nurse and all the appropriate medical equipment that's required by state law to be certified as a critical care air ambulance provider. That equipment and those people are on call 24/7, so we have rotating pilots and medical crews that are on call at all times. We have a dispatch where the calls would come in, then they would page out our people and we would go pick them up. Typically in our service, we're going out to one of the remote villages out of Fairbanks and bringing people back to the Fairbanks Hospital. At least from our perspective, the prices are driven pretty much by Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement levels. In general, there's a liftoff that runs in the order of $2,000 to $3,000 meter drop, and then a per mile loaded statute mile rate that's something in the $10 to $15 per loaded statute mile. So the average medevac might be in the $5,000 to $10,000 range.
And if I may follow up, Madam Chair, and that's in the how far away from Fairbanks does your catchment
area?
Well,
we fly all over. I mean, we've flown all over the state of Alaska. We can go anywhere, but most of our business is in the Tanana Chiefs region. So typically, those are medevacs that are 100 to 300 miles in distance.
And one last question. Thank you, Madam Chair. And do you have a contract with Tanana Chiefs, or is it the Tanana Chiefs area that you were speaking of?
We have a contract with Tanana Chiefs. That's a contract that they bid periodically. It's publicly, I mean, they put out a request for proposals, and any air ambulance provider can respond to those requests.
Okay.
We currently hold a contract with Tanana Chiefs.
Okay. Representative Seaton. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Newman had his hand up first, then you see.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Warbelow, you are a private for-profit business.
Yes.
Do emergency rooms have problems where they, or if people come in, they have to accept them? Do you receive any federal compensation if you were to have to take any person who required your services? Did you get any compensation from
anybody? Our only sources of compensation are Medicare, Medicaid, third-party insurance, or with our contract with Tanana Chiefs. If Tanana Chiefs is a payer of last resort, so if they call a medevac out and that person doesn't have Medicare or Medicaid or third-party insurance, then they pay us to transport them.
Yeah. And if I may
follow up, Representative Newman?
It says, may not deny emergency service medical services to any person. The most obvious question that comes to me is, this is airplanes we're talking about. What about weather?
Well, if there's operational reasons why you can't do it, yes. I mean, you're not obligated. In fact, we're not allowed to fly if you know, the weather minimums can't be met.
And I guess we'll ask the sponsor of the bill on that.
Yeah, and we'll go into this, believe me, on March 1st in great detail. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and a couple of things. first of all, are all our couriers basically on the Medicaid, Medicare established as far as ambulance services? Do they all function pretty much the same on the same cost basis? I mean, they're all reimbursed by I mean, they all get the same Medicaid rate.
Right. Those rates are established. We can bill them anything we want, but they pay based on what the established rates are for Medicare and Medicaid.
Okay, and if I'm trying to figure out from your aspect how this would work. If you have a contract with Tanana Chiefs, but one of their villages has signed up with a membership with this other carrier, what's the procedure, and how does that dovetail, or doesn't it? Are they required to utilize one service or another, or can you explain how you think that would work?
Well, yes, it's been a complicated situation because when we got the contract with TCC, our competitor in Fairbanks there has tried to market around that contract to get that business, and this has been one of the mechanisms they've used. They've, for example, put a physician in Fort Yukon in the clinic there, and then used that physician to refer Medivacs back to themselves. The nature of the business is such that the reimbursement for Medicare and Medicaid and third-party insurance is high enough that if you can get that business, you can fly the TCC paid business for free. We don't think that's legal, but that is what has happened.
And basically, I've actually, when my husband was living in Haines, there was this other company had a place in Sitka, and so when I was campaigning and I was knocking on doors, and their office looked like a house, and so I went in, and so I bought one because for $75, if I got medevaced out, what my insurance didn't pay, then they would just write off, and so that was a good deal for me, and so I signed up for it, you know, and then I can't, but that was been quite a while ago, and so I don't know what the numbers are or anything like that now, and. So basically, that's what it is. It allows people to be able to say, oh my goodness, for this amount, if I ever got medevaced out, you know. So that's kind of where we're at with it right now. And so, of course, anybody that's not doing that is upset. And so we're going to have to work through it to see, do we need to adjust, or what do we need to do? So, Representative Roses.
Thank you. I want to pursue the legality of the selling of the policies or the subscriptions that you were referring to. You said you'd contact the Division of Insurance. I thought you said, so correct me if I misunderstood you. I thought I heard you say that they said that it was not proper and that you asked for that in writing and never received it in writing. And then you stated that it must be illegal because we have a bill here that's addressing it. Is that what I heard you say?
We were told by the Division of Insurance, we asked for if we could sell that type of product, and they said no, it would be contrary to the regulations.
Okay. So you asked if you could sell the same thing that's already being sold, and you were told no, you couldn't?
Right. Okay. And we were told that they were investigating the people who were selling it.
Okay.
How long ago was that?
I'm thinking it was about 5 years ago.
Okay. Representative Seaton.
Madam Chair, since we're talking about insurance regulations, I just want to clarify.
We will have the next week or whenever on March 1st, we will have the Commissioner of Insurance here.
Sure. Mm-hmm. But I'm just trying to clarify that what we're talking about here is not an exemption for a ambulance service from carrying insurance themselves. This is strictly talking about them selling a product as insurance. I just want to get that. Because, you know, I'm hoping the witness can come back, because without having the bill presented first, we're in difficulty of being able to ask the questions.
Right.
But it's very good to get it in person, so if you can't make it back and you're on teleconference, that will, it's been valuable.
Yeah, unfortunately, and I wish I could come back here. I understand this is scheduled for the 1st, and I'm scheduled for some oral surgery on the 1st. So, and I may be fairly, I hope I'm in a drug-induced coma for a couple days after that. So I probably will not be able to come back, but I would certainly, if there's any way to provide, you know, answer questions or whatever after you've discussed it. I mean, we think this is a very important issue. Obviously, I took a day to come down here because we think it's a critical issue and that this is not a good bill.
Yeah, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to kind of slow things down here because I did this kind of out of sequence because I felt bad that you weren't aware that what had happened and that we had to cancel for that. And it is just about 3:30, and so I'm going to cut off stuff right now. You know, what we'll do is the time that we have it, I will not move it that first time, so that we'll have plenty of time to think about it, ask questions, and then wait till the next time so that everybody gets a chance to really think about this. So having said that, I'm going to close this meeting.